Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Wands at the ready.
Hey, Katie.
Hey.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Katie. So, oh my God, wait. Speaking of tea, when I first met Teresa, she identified herself as iced tea. So it's so funny because in my Snapchat, that's your name still. I don't know why.
Well, that's my username in Snapchat.
Oh my God, okay.
So two things. First being that, yes, that is my Snapchat username. I only use Snapchat to send pictures of my cat to people.
Mine's like stupid things my children and husband do.
But I downloaded Snapchat when it was still in like its user platform. Like this is like, I don't know, like 14 years ago.
Yeah.
I think I was like 23 when Snapchat dropped. Yeah. So I was like one of the first users on Snapchat. So I made my username Iced Tea because at the time I was job hunting. So all of my social media, aka Facebook, was Iced Tea so that like employers couldn't find me on social media.
Also, so I just backtrack, if anyone is young listening to this, you fucking dumped your life on Facebook when we were young. Like we're talking, we walked around their cameras, snapped 1,800 photos, uploaded them the same night, and they were like the worst photos of mankind, but they were all revolving around some kind of red Solo cup drinking and shenanigans ensuing.
You would take 200 pictures on your digital camera, upload them at 3 a.m. while drunk. Yes. Not even like the name of the album was always something that like had nothing to do with anything.
Correct.
There would be no editing whatsoever. Yes. And it was just like a different time to be on the internet. But yeah, so Iced Tea is still my Snapchat username. If you add me, I will not add you back because I think people, because it's such a generic nickname,
yeah,
like that I
so
get hundreds of requests. Like it's like actually like kind of crazy. I don't know. Like, I think it's just because it's Iced Tea. And I think in the beginning, people were adding me thinking that I was like Iced Tea, like
funny,
the rapper.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I just have like thousands of like requests. Like, do you see this?
Oh my God.
Thousands of them. And one time I accepted somebody because I thought that it was someone I knew. I was like, oh, it's Anthony. Of course. Like, I mean, how many? You live in New Jersey. You know a million Anthonys.
How many Anthonys?
Like 45 of my second cousins are named Anthony. Anyway, so I accepted this guy. And then I ended up getting a nude photo of this man. And I was like, nobody gets accepted. I'm sorry, but we are not familia.
I don't use it in the sense of like, I have a friend group that actually uses it to communicate and it drives me bonkers. Some luscious text. But I think like I literally communicate with like you, Mary, Tom, and Gio, and sometimes Gil, if it's a booger or if it's like related to or like someone saying Gil, like Leah trying to say Gil, like something like that nature, then I'll send it to your husband. But that is it.
Yeah. You know, mine, it's literally always, it's a picture or a video of Winston, and it's to you, my mom, and Gil. Like,
yeah, nobody else.
Nobody. Yeah. Anyway.
What are we talking about today?
I do have a really big rant to go on, which I'll save it for the end. Like, we'll go out on a rant. You know, we're here to just, you know, like we always do, spill the tea, just discuss what we've been reading lately, recommend and not recommend, because I have a high one that I don't recommend, you guys. I've been sweating, raging, thinking about this book for like a week straight. But I'll wait till the end to get there, because I know that once I start, you won't hear Katie's voice for like 30 minutes.
Okay, wait. When was the last time we did a spilling the tea?
You know what? That's a really, really good question.
I was so Spotify to look.
I want to say that it was the last week of January because then we did the comeback and deep end the first 2 weeks of February. So I want to say last week of January was a spilling the tea.
Okay, that's very...
But that also, no, you know what? It was probably Onyx Storm, now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay, I know where I'm gonna, I know where to start. I know where to start.
Oh. Was that you or me?
That's you.
Oh. Well, oh yeah, somebody is at my front door.
At my front door.
You know what? I think it's a guy trying to sell me solar panels, so we're going to ignore him. Oh yeah, he wants to sell me solar panels. No thanks.
Nobody's home. Woody, nobody's home.
Anyway, sorry about that, guys.
Okay, do you want to start? Do you want me to start? What do you want to do?
You know what? I'll kick it off, I guess. I'll kick it off with, I don't think I talked about this, so I'm going to start here, because it's coming out next Tuesday, The Charlie Method by Elle Kennedy. It's an MFM romance, which is not normally my cup of tea. I have a really hard time specifically in contemporary romance where there's like, it's like a, like two guys to one girl, because especially if the guys aren't also in a relationship, like if it's like, we're all fucking, I think, yeah, I could get behind it a little more. But when it's like the guys just both like, are like, oh, like we just like love her so much. Like we don't care. And like, we like, but they're also not in love. I struggle. So I did struggle. I gave it like 4 stars. It's like a 3.75-ish, 4. I like rounded up. It's my least favorite of the Campus Diaries books.
Okay.
Like the Graham Effect and the Dixon Rule were like 5 out of 5 stars. I love them. They were both in my like yearly wrap ups as like my favorite books of the years that they came out. And the Charlie Method just like didn't live up to those expectations for me based on, I think, the MFM plot line. So it follows Will and Beckett, who you meet them in the Graham Effect and then again in the Dixon Rule. They like to share women. And then we have, oh my God, Charlie. I'm like, what's her name? Duh. The Charlie Method. Hello. And she's like a good girl, but she's like secretly like a little freak. And she basically ends up getting with both of these guys. And it's not like always the three of them. Sometimes she's just with Beckett and sometimes she's just with Will, but like the three of them like are kind of in like a throuple. And at the end, I guess like the third act, like not break, I guess it is like a breakup. So the three of them are supposed to move together to Australia. That's where Beckett is from. It's like this like whole thing that like she's going to grad school there. He's like moving back home. Will's supposed to go with them. But like at the end, so Will's dad is like a politician and Will's like kind of always like kind of been in like that world. And at the end, like, he's like, I can't go with you guys. Like, I have to stay. And so they go and, like, Beckett and, like, Charlie are, like, still together. It's not like they, like, need Will, but, like, they like it more as, like, the three of them. And they end up all back together in the end. Like, Will ends up, like, quitting, like, the job that he has in politics, and he, like, moves out there, and, like, they all end up being together. I just, like, this is where I struggle with the MFM part, because if Beckett's not in love with Will, and he just, like, likes the occasional threesome, because that's what it is, right? Like, Beckett and her have sex by themselves, Will and her have sex by themselves, sometimes they do, like, a little threesome, sometimes they don't, whatever. So if Beckett isn't in love with Will, and Will's not in love with Beckett, then, like, why does Beckett care whether Will's there or not? Like, why does, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when Will comes back, Beckett's like, it just, like, it wasn't the same without you. And I'm like, you could also just have threesomes with, like, another person if you're not in love with the man. Like, if you're not in love with Will, then, like, you can just put anybody in his place.
Yeah.
So I just felt like the romance, like, it just was, like, a little lacking. I thought because there was three instead of two, like, the plot kind of, like, lacked in some spots, or just felt like kind of, like, there was like plot holes in some areas, because I feel like she had to, you know, fit a lot more in, because there was three main characters instead of just the two. Ooh, throwing my phone. And I think it's just me. I'm just not a fan of MFM. I was hoping that it would just be an MM romance. We know Elle has done MM hockey romances before. So I was really hoping that that's kind of what we would get. I think that she did a good job with this as like a first time being an MFM romance. It's just not for me. Like, these types of stories aren't for me. But if you like Elle Kennedy books, it has the same like wit and humor and things that you'll love It's just that I thought the romance was lacking a little bit.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So I do recommend it if you like Elle Kennedy. I just go, if you're not an MFM fan, go in with like, you know, a little, like just go in knowing that it's, there's a lot of things in different places. And I also think
literally
that Elle had a favorite of the boys. I think when I was reading it, I was like, oh, I know who Elle likes more because I know who I liked more. And I was like, he's getting the short end of the stick here.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's my issue with MFM because I always end up liking one of the guys more. Yeah. And because I'm like a strictly monogamous person, I'm like, no, you don't want the other one. Like, this one's great by himself.
Cut, move, goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. You want to keep going?
Or go? I know. We'll trade off. Plus, so there's some that we've read that we can talk about together.
There are. I'm actually going to go to the bottom and do Scythe and Sparrow. So that's book three of the Ruinous Love trilogy. I've said this before and I'll say this again. I don't like the new type of like names for like the series. Just name the series what the first book is, please. Butcher and Blackbird. So
yes,
this was good. Okay, let's back up. Butcher and Blackbird stands as my favorite of the series. I thought that was absolutely phenomenal. It is a dark romantic comedy. It's hard to say because I understand that it is a dark romance, but in my mind, to me, dark romance is like an Emily McIntyre or somebody else where there's crazy types of sex scenes. Like this, in a sense of dark romance, is because the main characters are serial killers. And there are some play moments, but it's just more about like how they're getting off the fact that someone plucks somebody's eyeballs out.
Yeah.
So just, I think it's fucking phenomenal. Anywho, Leather and Lark was book two. I did not really like that. I also listened to that on audio, so I wonder if that just did a disservice for me.
I do think, I've only listened to the audio, and I only listened to the first chapter of Scythe and Sparrow because I had to move on to something else. I forgot that I had to read Quicksilver this week. But I really, I didn't like the giggling in the audio, but I think I liked Leather and Lark more via audio than I would have liked it if I was reading it.
Okay. I feel like maybe I would have been the opposite. I think if I read it, I would have liked it more. So with Scythe and Sparrow, it is not as, they are not serial killers. She is the sparrow in the sense that she does help women in abusive situations, but she's not the one dealing the final blow per se. She's assisting, but she's not killing. However, she then decides like she might want to get her toes wet and be the one in control. It backfires maliciously with her first one. It does get a little gory.
Yeah, that part I read.
Yes, obviously the brother is, you'd think I would remember his name.
Fionn.
Thank you. Fionn, he's the doctor here. And you do learn a bit of his past. It is more of a romantic story. To me, it's about like embracing who you really are and exploring who you want to become because of who you want to be. Not like I want to be somebody different. It's like, I know I have a dark interior. They're both trying to like hide from it per se. Whereas what's her face is way more open. What's her name? Why can't I remember her name either?
Rose.
Thank you. I was going to say Rune, but that's in a different book I'm reading that I will talk about in a little bit. But Rose is ready to explore it. She's very vocal, very funny, very friendly. She's like, yeah, no, I'm cool. I'm going to try to kill people. And he's like, wait, I'm sorry. And I like how they're forced together. She essentially is beaten with a bat by the guy she tried to murder to save another lady. And he takes her in. She can't move around. She's in the circus. She travels. There's really no one there to help her. So she goes with him. And he's just fighting like his inner demon. Like he thinks that he owes it to his brother to be a light instead of like living in the dark like the brothers do. But I think Rose helps kind of makes him realize like, it's okay. Like I want to be this dark entity. Also, we are nice people. It's just this, we're helping others in need and you can kind of watch him go through that process. So don't go into this thinking it's going to be a Butcher and Blackbird situation where there's a ton of killing. You do get a couple of scenes, and they are, I guess, I mean, I didn't think they're gory, but I can see why someone might be like, no, this is gory. It was good. It was definitely my second favorite. I gave it a 4-star review.
I've heard people say it's the most romantic of them, and definitely that the ending is, like, great.
She does a really nice job wrapping everything up.
Okay.
I liked it. I was a big fan of that.
Okay, so
I'm
going to do a quick wrap-up of three books that I read, because they're all Rebecca Yarros contemporary romance books. So after I finished Onyx Storm, I was like, she started off writing romance, let me give that a whirl. And everybody says, like, The Last Letter, like, people, like, rave about this book of hers. So I don't know if, like, going in, I was like, oh, it's going to be amazing. But I felt very let down by it. Like, it just, like, was fine.
Okay.
It was fine. And then, like, yeah, there's something that happens at the end that's, like, sad. But, like, I think I expected it because I saw people being, like, oh, my God. And then the ending. And I was, like, oh, like, if people are so shocked by how this ends, then, like, this is going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but, like, I knew it was going to happen. And, I mean, I can spoil it.
Please do.
Okay.
If you don't want a spoiler, skip ahead.
If you don't want a spoiler, skip ahead. 2 minutes. Okay. So the story is, and I forget their names, but there's a girl and her brother is like in the military. I'm going to fuck this up because I don't know like the diff. I'm not like good about like the military, but like the military, like he's in the military. He's in like special forces. Okay. And his like best friend in like the special forces is this guy. And the brother is like, okay, like the guy has like no family, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he, like, tells the guy, he's like, you should just, like, become pen pals with my sister. Like, she'll send you care packages, whatever. But really, her brother was, like, kind of trying to set them up a little bit.
Okay.
And they, like, fall in love, like, through these letters. And there's, like, another month until they're about to, like, get a break. And he's going to go home with his friend and, like, finally meet the girl. And they go out on, like, a mission. And, like, the brother dies.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And because they're, like, special ops... nobody like knows their names. Like they can't use their real names in any correspondence or anything like that. So after her brother dies, she's like writing letters to this guy and he like just like stops answering because he feels like her brother's death is her fault. So she thinks that he's dead too. Ugh. So fast forward, whatever. I forget how many months it is, but fast forward, he shows up. They live in Colorado and she like owns like a bed and breakfast, like with like cabins and stuff. And he shows up there and he's like, oh, I knew your brother. But he doesn't tell her that he's who she was corresponding with.
Okay.
So her daughter also is like diagnosed with this like very rare form of cancer. And so she's going through all these like treatments with her daughter. It's like whatever. It's like very he's basically there like he's like wants to get her through like the treatments and like be there for her and like all this stuff. And like the daughter finally goes into remission and like she's doing like amazing, whatever. And the two of them are like together. And then it comes out that he's like this guy and like not like, and he never told her that he was the one who like, it's a whole thing. They end up like having to get married, whatever. It's like very, it's, you know, it's a romance. It's like a little silly, but they break up when she finds out, but then like the kids like love him. So, and like, so they like still kind of like maintain this like friendship. They finally get back together and the kids are going on like a field trip, whatever, blah blah blah, and the little boy ends up dying. So like the whole time it's like is the daughter gonna die, and then like the little boy, like her twin brother, ends up like falling to his death to like save like his like classmate on this like field trip. It's not funny.
Like what the fuck.
But I feel like it was just, like, trauma to, like, add I don't know. I just, like, it didn't even, like, affect me. Like, I wasn't, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. I was, like, I feel like the brother is going to be the one who dies because he's, like, the only person who hasn't gone through something, really. And, like, everyone's, like, I can't believe the ending. And I was, like, oh, the brother is going to be the one who dies. Like, I just, like, knew it.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like, I just feel like it was just, I don't know. I was, like, I was enjoying it while I was reading it, but I was, like, this wasn't, like, anything great. And then I read another one of her books, In a Likely Event. Again, all of her books are kind of like military romances. So this one, they're like, again, special forces, and they're like in Iraq?
Okay.
I don't know. I forget. Again, it was forgettable. Okay. So it was like 3 stars. And then I did her book Variation on audio. And this one I actually do recommend. I'm recommending the audio experience specifically because I don't know how I would have felt if I was reading it, but I did like the story the best. It's like set in kind of like Cape Cod, and he is Coast Guard and the girl is a ballerina, and they were like best friends. She, like, her family would go there for the summers. They were like best friends, but he was like obviously in like love with her. And then one summer, she gets into a car accident and her sister dies in the accident, and she doesn't really remember a lot of what happened. But after the accident, he kind of like disappears from her life. And then 10 years later, she goes back to the house to like rehab after like an accident or like an injury. And they kind of like reconnect because her sister who died, ended up like having like a baby like years prior. And the guy's sister adopted a baby that happened. It's like a whole thing. But anyway, I actually really liked it.
Okay.
And Teddy Hamilton does like the narration. So, you know, it's like, it's done really well. Yeah. So I'm still like, not sure how I feel about Rebecca Yarros as a romance writer, even though I know that's how she started. But I'm still down for Rebecca Yarros as a fantasy romance writer, I guess.
There you go. I know someone else I was reading that series too, and they felt the same way. They were like, it's all right. Like, it's not memorable. I think they ended up stopping because they were like, if it's not memorable, why am I wasting my... They're not like a you where they're going to blow through a book in a couple of days. Like, she's like, if it's going to take me like a week to read, because that's just what is typical. Like, I'm not going to wait precious weeks reading a book that like isn't... It's more of like, I don't mean to say like a throwaway book, but you're not remembering it. So it's in and out, kind of almost like I didn't really need that. So...
I did say...
You're not the first person I've heard that from.
Yeah, I said yesterday that 2025 is going to be my year of DNFs because I did read 2 books this month that I wish that I didn't. But before we get there, you and I both did read Out of the Woods by Hannah Bonham Young.
We did. We could talk about that one.
And that's not a DNF.
That is not a DNF. I very much enjoyed this. And we've talked about this. We both love a second chance romance. It makes us a wee bit nervous, if you will, when the second chance is in that marriage. Like, there's a marriage going on currently. I think it could always go a few different directions. And I feel as if, to me, more times than not, my mind's going, is this going to be good? Is she going to salvage anything of this? What are we talking about issue-wise? Like, are they redeemable? There's a lot of thoughts.
Yes.
I very much enjoyed, I think Out on the Limb is still my favorite of the two, if you had to pick. But I really do think she did a wonderful job of ensuring the reader. And I liked her, actually, I'm going to back up a step. She put an author's note in the beginning. And sometimes I kind of like, I don't really pay too much attention. Like, I'll read them, but it's not sinking in. And I think she, and actually, T, probably you, because you've been dating and now married to Gil, and you've been with him for a very long time. You weren't child brides, per se, but Hannah has been in a relationship, I think it's from high school, and she married her high school sweetheart, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Yeah. Don't have to do it. So when you are with someone like that, it is very easy to not grow together and individually, but more of like individually, but you're growing apart. And I think it's true for any relationship, especially long-term, that you might not change drastically, but there's going to be changes along the way. Like, maybe who you were, I mean, we say this all the time, who we were at 20 versus now are, there's similar traits between us, but we're vastly different people.
So, people are always going to grow and change and
and adapt. And I think for this the female main character, because I don't remember her name.
Sarah.
Obviously. Sarah, thank you. I like that for the two of them throughout the whole book, you knew that they loved each other at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they wanted to be together. There was no cheating. It was just a matter of you fall into a routine, right? Like, he was her safety net. And that was also that started because when her mom got sick, he basically was like, do what you need. I will catch you. Like, I will. He's Mr. Fix It, right? He's yes. there to fix anything to help her. Like, for he in his mind, it's how can I help my wife because I love her and I want her to succeed and her to be the best. Like, behind every intention and every action is love. And I yes. like that that was the theme throughout. Like, this is a couple in love who want to be in love and together at the end of the day.
Yes.
And I like how they kind of got to the camp, or I guess the retreat, if you will. Like, it was kind of thrown at her as an idea after, like, kind of talking through what happened at, like, with her best friend. Again, is it Caleb? I was about to say Caleb. Oh my God, look at me go! Like, he did nothing wrong, per se, with this fundraiser event. He's a tech guy. He's done very well for himself. She doesn't need to work. She's a stay-at-home wife who basically has everything she could ever want and more. She has a best friend that, like, is essentially her sister. Her mom did unfortunately pass. So, of course, like, there's some hiccups along the way, but it is true in the sense that she failed at something once, and she didn't even fail. Some bitch basically told her that you fucking suck at writing, and she really took that to heart, which honestly, I think that is more of a reaction that you'd probably receive from people than maybe standing up and going, fuck you, I'm going to show you what's up, right? Like,
especially at 17,
right?
She was already going through, like, the trauma of her mom being sick and, like, you know, kind of, and, you know, not kind of, her mom being sick and dying. And then she gets this, like, really bad feedback from somebody who she considers kind of, like, her, like, idol. Like, an author that she's loved forever. And it's supposed to be kind of, like, a little, like, mentor, like, lunch. And the woman's just like, you have, like, no hope here. So, I mean, like, I get it. Like, I don't think I would have handled that news well at 17, even if I was in a good state of mind. Especially, and she was already struggling. Yeah,
like, it was her dream to write. And I mean, she was big fish in a small pond at high school, right? So you are kind of more guaranteed to be better at something if you find a little bit of a niche.
Yeah.
But then, of course, once you move into the real world, it's like, well, how do you stand out, right? We see that it happens all the time. But yeah, like, that moment of her getting that feedback, it could have went so in so many different directions, but this woman just shit on her parade completely.
Yes.
Fucking ruined her.
Yeah.
So she really kind of ran with that and took it to heart, and it kind of derailed, I think, her whole thought process.
Yeah.
And Caleb's just kind of took off. So they're together, they're along for the ride, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to call her a doormat, but in her mind, she felt that she had nothing to contribute. Whereas, like, Caleb saw her as everything, like, what he wanted and more. He liked his life.
Yes.
But also, like, sometimes you need to also take a step back and realize, like, maybe your other person isn't happy. I just feel like it was a good read for anyone. Just a good read in general. But, for, like, if you are someone who is in a longer-term relationship, especially if you started younger, there are so many things I'm sure for you, too, unless I'm putting words in your mouth, where I was like, oh, my God, this, like, relates so much. Like,
yeah. Like, they keep – I mean, it was marketed as, like, a marriage in crisis, which I wouldn't even call it that. I would just, like, call it, like – growing
marriage
pains.
It's
really just like growing pains. Like, I do understand, like, I guess, like, where Sarah was coming from in a lot of ways with, like, her. Her identity. She, like, felt like she didn't have an identity and didn't know, like, what she wanted to do or who she wanted to be. However, and I'm gonna shit on her just for a minute. Her mom dying is just very tragic. But she had such an amazing support system. And everybody just, like, let her flounder for years. Like, her mom, like, she, like, drops out of college. She just kind of, like, I mean, her and Caleb get married so that her mom can be there. And, like, Caleb, they knew that they wanted to be together and get married. So, like, they just did it young. But I just feel like there was, like, nobody, like, pushed her to do anything. Like, she just, like, sat, like, and I'm sorry, but it is what it is. Like, she didn't go to school. She didn't have any hobbies. She didn't have a job. She just sat home all day and did nothing. And this wasn't, like, oh, like, okay, like, she was, like, she's mourning, she's grieving, give her a year. Like, no, this is, like, years and years later. It's, like, 10 years later, and she's still, and, like, so she honestly, I mean, like, I really liked Sarah, and I liked their relationship, but she's so freaking lucky that Caleb loves her so much and that he should have pushed her, of course, which, like, I think that he, like, never wanted to because he didn't want to upset her. And I think in any marriage, like, if you see your partner floundering, you should even have those difficult conversations when you're kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? Because I know, like, for me, like, I would expect Gil to do that. Like, you do have to eventually move on with your life and you do have to kind of, like, put your big girl pants on and, like, go out and do something. And so Caleb was, like, I guess just, like, assuming that as long as she's happy and healthy, then I don't care what she does. And she was mad at him, I think, for not kind of pushing her.
Yes. But I understand. Again, I'm kind of with you too. Like, even at 17, to be dealt that kind of a blow, whether you have something cruddy going on in your life back at home or not, it would have pissed me off. And I think it would have very much discouraged me. But also from, like, you're still in high school. So you also, not to say that I would rely on my teachers to amp me back up, but I would probably take that feedback back to a teacher and be like, she basically told me that I'm a piece, like, I'm shitting at this. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, even that whole aspect too. I'm saying this delicately. But you gave up after one person saying something to you. I get it. You're 17. You're young. I probably would have fucking cried in my closet for a week. But again, I would have had my mother that probably would have, like, get your fucking ass back up and do something. And if you don't want to do that, then try something else. But you're not going to sulk and, like, sit here all day.
So, yeah. And, like, even
her best friend saying something.
Right. I'm saying even, like, Wynn, who's, like, her best friend, like, if that was you, I'd be like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Like, I would be so mean. I'd be like, what do you just do? Sit home all day? Like,
yeah,
I don't care if you don't work. Good. I wish I didn't have to, but, like, get a hobby or, like, whatever. And then she, like, you know, she wants to put on this charity, which is kind of the catalyst of the story. And she wants to do this charity to raise money for ALS, which is what her mom passed away from. And I'm pretty sure that, like, multiple people, like, Wynn and Caleb kind of, like, start small. Like, you can't just, like, start big, like, start small. And she's like, no, I have to go big. Like, I have to do this thing. And, like, she does it, and she doesn't even, like, yes, she technically fails because she doesn't reach her goal, her fundraising goal, but she still is making money to donate, but it's not the goal that she had raised for it. So Caleb donates the rest so that she meets this fundraising goal. And yes, like, that's, I guess it's annoying because, like, if I'm going to fail, let me fail. You can't, like, always be there to, like, boost me up. But at the same time, like, yeah, like, failure is okay, but your partner is the one person who, like, should always be there to, like, boost you if you need a little help. And I think that, I mean, I know obviously she took it, I understood where she was coming from, because she's like, he's always swooping in to save me, and sometimes I just, like, need to fall on my, like, I need to, she kind of, like, knew, she's like, I need to fall on my ass.
Yeah.
And it was the catalyst for them going away on this retreat together, and the communication between the two, like you said, like, I really, really liked it. Because I never felt like they weren't going to make it. It was like, you can clearly tell that these two people love each other and that they're willing to fight for their marriage, which I feel like in a lot of these, like, marriage in crisis books, the two have, like, give, like, one of them have given up, or, like maybe, like, the husband is, like, very, like, distant, and he's, like, very, like, focused on one thing, and she's feeling neglected, and then she leaves, and then all of a sudden he's, like, groveling the rest of the book. Like, I feel like these two were, like, very in tune, like, very in love, like, best friends. And they, like, hit a rut, and they, like, forgot to check in with each other. And then when it came, like, once she spoke up about how she was feeling, he was like, what do we need to do?
Yeah. And again, like, he even at first, he's like, I don't understand how me donating this money is a bad thing. Like, he didn't understand. And he was still willing to get in that car and go on this retreat. But yeah, like, once she started to vocalize everything, and that's what I liked in return. Like, he was like, because she's like, oh, you don't want to change. And rightfully so. He's like, but I like how things are going. So, like, it's scary. But I liked that. Like, let's, like, open that dialogue again, right? Like, he's happy, content, because he's out working and doing well and being successful.
Yeah.
But she doesn't feel the same. So, I don't know. I'm with you. Like, I could shit on Sarah for a while because there's a lot of things. I was like, bitch, just shut the fuck up. But at the same
I'm a very big, like, just move on. Like, okay, you've had your time. Now move on. Like, self-motivate. Like, I'm very, like,
I will, like, to me, like, I can't be in that depressive state. It does no good for me, and I don't like being there. Like, I need happiness, sunshine, and I'd rather try. Like, I am motivated by failure. So that's also very different. Like I,
yeah.
If someone comes out, it's going to hurt and bruise my ego for 7 seconds. But on the flip side, I'm also going to be like, well, give me some feedback to improve. What do I need to do? Or who do I need to reach out to for like a mentorship? Like, give me some guidance.
Right. And I know like when I was like in my teenage years, I wasn't always like a self-confident, self-motivated person. But at a certain point, like after like a year of you being like, again, if you're I'm trying to like say this in a nice way, if somebody that you are really close with, a parent, whatever, passes, and a year, 2 years later, you're still finding yourself kind of climbing out of like this hole, then you need to go to therapy. And if you can't like motivate yourself to do that, then like somebody in your life kind of has to bully you. And yeah. I'm like that. I'm always like, I feel like, I don't know. I don't think I'm like a mean person, but I feel like I'm like the friend sometimes who's like, okay, like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah. But that is a friendship, right? Like same thing. Like if this was me sitting around, you'd be like, let's go.
And
like,
cause you don't want to see the people you care about flounder. Mm-hmm. Like, she, thank God, had such an amazing support system and was financially, had a husband who was financially stable and could support her, that she kind of could have like as much time as she needed. But in the real world, bad shit happens and you kind of have to find a way to like still live.
Yes.
And I feel like she just like didn't live.
She just kind of like, I feel like dropped everything, was like, F this. I will say, I feel like towards the end, like Wynn started to kind of like look at her like, you, this has been a long time coming and I didn't, and now I need to.
Yes.
Because like, you're recognizing this now. But yeah, like she just kind of, I don't know, I feel like she became like a shell of herself. I will say it's really nice. It's a really nice journey. It's a really nice love story.
Yes. No, I really, really liked it.
I enjoyed it very much. It was, yeah. She has a way of writing where I'm like, okay, you just proved something that was hard to do and did it really well. So
yes.
I will read anything you write at this point.
Yeah. And Katie and I really love to like take a work of fiction and then be like, well, this is how I would react to it if it was me. Which we get it. We know it's fiction. It's a story. I know. But I have to self-insert a little bit.
I think that's what makes a good conversation about it, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel most readers probably insert themselves into the book. And we all probably sit there and have our opinions about how we would handle something. Not like how anybody else would, but like I know myself. Yeah. I know what I've never experienced the death of my mom passing away, but like I've experienced bad things in life and I can make a somewhat of a judgment call of how I would react to that age and or now. So that's just what we're doing.
Yeah, we're just relating things to ourselves. It's fine. Another book that we both read and thoroughly enjoyed, First Time Caller by B.K. Borison. I think only my second 5-star book of the entire year. My first was Project Hail Mary.
That's my two as well right now.
So, yes, no, I figured we would talk about Project Hail Mary as well, but First Time Caller, B.K. Borison, Katie and I both read the ARCs last summer, I think like August, September timeframe, and then it just came out last week on the 11th, and we went to an event on the 13th with B.K. and Tessa, both just like darling, wonderful humans. We've met Tessa a couple times before, but I like loved them. They were like so sweet, but this book is so good. Like,
yeah,
I know everyone has been like going like off about Deep End. I feel like Deep End, like really, like a lot of people read it. Like I don't know, something about Deep End. I just am constantly seeing a lot of
my algorithm is like spitting Deep End stuff at me.
And like, even when I'm not on the book like account, my algorithm on like my personal, which is like a completely different algorithm, is still like Deep End by Hallie Hazelwood, and it's like either people loving it or hating it. Which we did a whole episode on that last week. So if you want to know our thoughts about that, go listen. But I think that First Time Caller like is the book that should be like being like pushed down people's throats.
Yes. Like screaming from the tops of the roofs. You know what? We should. Can we get on a roof somewhere? Can we record ourselves getting on a roof and being like, go read this book?
Yeah, let's get on a roof. Katie's like, I have some content idea. We're going to climb onto your roof and we're going to scream, everybody go read First Time Caller by B.K. Borison. No, it was like, so, I mean, like, I love Lucy. I loved Aiden. I know people have an issue with Aiden because he's like kind of like a little, I don't think he's toxic. He's just like very like a man out of touch with his own feelings.
Yes.
But I like loved him because he like is his like, okay, so it's dual POV. So you get Aiden's like internal like monologue. He's so fucking down bad from like the second he hears Lucy's voice, and he's just not good at expressing himself.
So, okay, so my boss actually read that, or is in the process of reading. No, she finished it. She's in a book club right now, Bubbles and something. I don't know, whatever. But they read it, and she's like, did you know I actually didn't like it when I first started it? And I was thinking to myself when I was reading it, even though it was dual POV, you get a lot more of Aiden versus Lucy. And I didn't think about that because, like, I feel like I was down bad from, like, the first couple pages.
Same.
She was like, I've come around. She's like, this is hands down like an amazing fucking book. And I don't know why I didn't like it. She's like, maybe it was just like a vibe, but I was like, I think you get more, a little bit more of Aiden. Cause Aiden is the one that's unsure in this whole book. Like Lucy's got her shit figured out. Lucy's good. Lucy's happy. Lucy's like, even though her friend's like, you should be with someone. She's like, well, I got everyone I need. I've got my system here. Like I am happy. I mean, she's obviously happy with Aiden, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
she's
Aiden,
very like, I'm happy and adding someone. I only want to add somebody who's going to bring me more joy, but I don't need somebody just to have somebody.
Correct.
And so,
that's okay. That's a girl. It is. I don't know what else to say, but it's like one of those moments where Teresa and I will recommend books, but like, if there's anything that you're going to listen to us for, it's this book.
I just have nothing negative.
And we should hold her sign up on the top of maybe your car.
Why? Why my car?
Because I have an SUV.
Okay.
I've already damaged your car anyway, so I feel like at that point.
What's some more damage?
What's some more?
No, I have nothing negative to say. Like, okay. I have no notes. I just think it was done perfectly. I can't wait to see the next one in the Heartstring series, Project Hail Mary. I've spoken about it before. Katie finally just listened to it. 5-star read. The audio experience is like infinity stars.
After I read that book, I did put up a TikTok that Teresa commented on also at like 3 a.m. I woke up to feed my tiny human. I didn't wake up to think about this book, but then I couldn't go back to sleep because I was thinking, it's like one of those endings where, like Teresa says, it satisfies you, but it's, have you ever read My Sister's Keeper?
I'm familiar.
Okay. So the ending of the book, I don't want to use the word satisfy because.
But you could say like it's bittersweet.
It's a bittersweet, and I feel, and this is bittersweet also. Like you kind of start thinking about like the alternatives that could have occurred. And in this case, it was our little angel baby going back to Earth.
I was going to say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and talk about it because Teresa has talked about it before. It's fucking incredible.
No, it's just, oh God, it's a sci-fi. There's literally, it's not a, like, it's very like different than the genre we normally talk about. But if you are familiar with the movie, The Martian, that was also a book written by the same author. It is like a kind of like quirky science nerd.
It is nerdy.
Yeah. He's like a quirky science nerd who I think is hot. Yes. And he's on a suicide mission to space. To save Earth from this like amoeba that is eating the sun. And they need to find a way to stop it. They don't know where it came from. They don't know how to kill it, whatever. So they are sent to space. And when he wakes up from this like induced coma that he's in, the two other people on the flight with him are dead. He has complete memory loss, so he like doesn't really know why he's there, but throughout the story he starts piecing a lot of things together, and he runs into an alien life form whose planet is also afflicted by the same like parasite, and they work together to save their planets.
It's so fucking good. I want
to. And it's just so good.
Just look him up, because if you read this, I've never read any of his other books.
Mm-hmm.
it is, I don't want to say technical, it is very sciencey based, but he writes in a way that like it explains what he's looking at and why. There's going to be some things he's spitting out that you're like, I don't, it's not resonating, but like he, again, it's all explained so well. Like you don't need to have any type of knowledge or understanding of a genius level of IQ to digest this information, but he doesn't have a degree. However, which means nothing also, like you could just be that intelligent. His dad was a physicist and his mother was an electrical engineer. So I'm sure they're just extremely intelligent individuals.
But that's why I think that if you're going to consume this story, I think you should consume it as an audiobook.
One, I agree.
Because I think that the sciencey terms might like cause your eyes to glaze over if you're not a sciencey person.
Words that they're spitting out, like
the I also wouldn't know how to pronounce some of it, and I feel like it would just like kind of take you out.
Yeah.
And then also when he's speaking to the alien life form Rocky, you kind of have to hear it.
Yes, it's cute.
It's cute.
But the narrator does a phenomenal job of like playing on like the emotion aspect of it. Like it feels real. It's so good. I only have one other book to talk. I have two, but I'll make one really quick and then one really, actually both will be quick.
Just do them both because the last book I'm going to talk about is going to take a while.
Okay. So I finally got, because I've been in I don't want to say the mood for fantasy, but I'm in the moodish for it. So I did The Encyclopedia of Fairies. It's Emily Wilde. It's in the title and that's the title of the series. Thank you. Thank you. I gave it 3 stars. It wasn't, I don't want to say it, like it was incredible. I don't say, like 3 to me in this sense is good because it is a fantasy.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. It read very much like a journal for the research she was doing. I think it just dragged a bit. Like, I think we could have sped this up a bit more, per se. Mm-hmm. And the issue at the end, like, you kind of knew where it was going to go and, like, what was going to happen. So I wasn't all that, like, invested. Like, it didn't, like I was reading the comments, people were like, oh, my God, can you eat? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you knew she was going to be okay. So that's kind of how I felt about that. I do have the second book. I do hear it's better. It's not going to be an immediate read, but it's going to be there. I am listening to Heartless Hunter by Kristen Ciccarelli.
Sure.
Ciccarelli?
My book's downstairs, so I can't look.
This is fucking good. This is good.
And you do know that it's only a duology and the next book comes out tomorrow.
Thank you so much. It's actually out in the Barnes Noble by me, but like thank you for duology, but like it gives the vibes of a Rebecca Yarros, of a Julie Johnson writing a fantasy as well. It's not a lot of world building. It is extremely easy to fall into the audio. I can go around the house and do things and I can still comprehend. We're not talking about any type of high level fantasy here.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the fuck they are. Like there is no world building. You are just, it's just like, you're here. You know what I mean?
Yes. Is it YA?
As of right now. Yeah. Like nothing's happened. They've kissed, but that's about
okay.
it.
Okay. No, it's like funny that I bought this a year ago and I have no idea what it's about.
They're in a world where there's witches and then there's just your normal people.
Yes.
And the witches have to use blood in order to cast their spells. And when you use blood, if you're using your own, instead of having ugly ass scars, they're like beautiful silver markings. So of course, like witches were decorating their bodies with this. Of course, as we all probably have realized, like something happens as a catalyst moment where then the witches are now hunted and purged per se. So this one girl who our female main character is, she is living with her grandmother and the people now realize that the grandmother is a witch. So if you're caught aiding, embedding, living, loving a witch, you are also, well, I wouldn't say loving a witch, but like if you're not turning her in, then you're also going to be found guilty. So her grandmother, I'm so mad that her name is eluding me right now because I actually like it. It's a start to see. But like her grandmother is like, the only way to save yourself is to turn me in and become like a sympathizer. And
okay.
Like, of course, the granddaughter is like, I fucking can't do this. I love you so much. Like, you're everything to me. And she's like, Rune, you need to do this. Otherwise, like, you two will be dead. Like, you need to live. So she turns her mother, her grandmother over. Her grandmother is purged in front of her. She goes out like a lady, blah. So now this woman is like seen in the society as a huge supporter of the witch hunters. Like, people love her. She's also like, obviously high ranking. Mm-hmm. She's rich. So this, his name is Gideon. He is a witch hunter who you've learned of his past. Like, he was hurt by a witch. His family was murdered by witches. Okay. His younger brother, Alex, is Rune's best friend.
Okay.
And it's so funny because Alex knows she's a witch, which is like not a good thing, obviously, but it's her best friend. And he's like, no, I'm going to help you. Like, I'm going to protect you. Like, her and her other friend, like, they're kind of like a little trio. And she is known as the Crimson Moth, who swoops in and saves any witch that is caught. Like, she's been releasing a ton, but there's killings happening. And you're kind of, I'm going to spoil this a little bit. Like, do you want me to spoil a little bit or no?
No.
Okay, never mind. So I'll stop right there. But it's so funny because Gideon's like, I have to protect my brother. He can't be in cahoots with this girl and be her best friend if she's a witch, like blah, blah, blah. So he thinks he's like almighty and righteous, trying to get close to her to like figure out if she's like the Crimson Moth. And she's also trying to get close to him to figure out where he keeps the witches that he catches. So it's like so funny because there's so many different angles. And I'm like, y'all are just like, she, like the Crimson Moth's obviously in the head here because she's best friends with Alex. Like Gideon's in the wrong. But I'm finding, I'm almost done with the audio. I have 2 hours left. I have some thoughts of what's going to happen.
Okay.
I proved one right because I had to spoil something for myself. I'm really curious how things pan out because, like, again, like Gideon thinks that he's helping and saving his brother based on past events. It's just really good. Like, I'm really at this point, like, I'm hitting a point where I'm like, oh, what's going to happen here? It's really good.
I am excited.
But it was, it's just really easy to understand and fall into. I, right now, it's like a highly recommend. I don't know if I'll give it 5 stars, but it's definitely going to be like a 4 to 5, 4.5.
Okay. It's on my short list. I'll get into the book I want to rant about in a minute. I am currently, I started Quicksilver. I'm like 20% in. I'm actually really enjoying it. So I might, depending on how I feel, do Heartless Hunter next. But the last book that I really need to talk about, and it has been, are you okay?
Yeah, I had to put my computer in.
Okay. I'm like, she just like disappeared.
I got the notice that I was dying. I can't hang up on you now.
So I already chewed Katie's ear off about this, but now it's my time to rant again. And the book that I need to talk about is The Favorites by Lane Fargo. And listen, at the end of 2024 and all through January, all I've heard and seen is like, this is like the best book of the year. This book is amazing. It's Daisy Jones and the Six and Magnolia Parks. Like, oh my God, like, the love story, it's like, you know, it's like a soap opera. Like, you'll love it and you'll hate it and you'll love it. And like, oh, the end, part four, blah, blah. Oh my God. Okay, listen, I'm going to say something and I'm going to mean this with my whole chest. I fucking hated this book. This book. Okay, so I've talked about how I hated that Lucy Score book, like all the things we like left unsaid, whatever, whoever, the first book in that series. That's been my, what?
My parents just got here with the kids, so we gotta hurry up.
Okay, sorry. That has been my villain origin story for years. No. Now, my villain origin story is Heath Rocha. I'll make this quick. This book is about, it's about figure skaters, and it's about this pair, Kat and Heath, and they're like childhood best friends, blah, 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 whatever. They kind of go through this like tumultuous relationship throughout their entire lives, from 6 to 40 years old. So we start off with them figure skating together in Illinois. And then they don't have the money. They have to work all these jobs. They finally go to this competition. They do really well. There's the Lynn twins, Garrett and Bella Lynn. Their mom, Sheila Lynn, is like the like ultimate figure skater. Like she was like, went to the Olympics. Like she is Kat's idol. And they're basically like Kat and Heath get invited to go to Sheila's like ice skating, whatever the like, camp. I don't know what the fuck it is. Camp in LA. The minute that they leave for LA, Heath becomes the most
unimaginably horrific person on the planet. Like, he only likes Kat when Kat has nobody else but him in his life. And, like, I, like, think he, like, loves the idea of Kat because Kat's the first person to, like, ever, like, give him a home. But he doesn't like Kat. Kat is, like, a very, like, super competitive, toxic, like, will do anything to win. Like, she doesn't care who she has to step on. Like, she is, like, an asshole, but, like, she is a winner. And whatever. So they go to this camp, like, whatever. Heath ends, there's, like, a whole thing. And then Bella's like, you shouldn't train with Heath. He's not good enough for you. You should train with my brother. And, like, Heath overhears basically this conversation that Kat is having with this other skater. And instead of just, like, I don't know, being like, what the fuck, dude? He just, like, runs away. So for 3 years, Heath is missing. Kat doesn't know where he is, what he's doing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So she ends up skating with Garrett. They're, like, they are, like, the top skaters. Bella and her partner are, like, not doing as well, but, like, at the end of the season, Bella's, like, not that worried about it. And then one day, like, Kat goes to the rink early to, like, kind of get some training in, and she gets there and Heath is skating, and Heath is, like, really good now, and she's like, what the fuck is Heath doing here? Turns out that, like, Heath is going to be Bella's new partner. Okay, fine, kind of fucked up, but whatever, because Bella and Kat are, like, best friends. They're, like, rivals, like, they're, like, kind of, like, pushing each other, but they're also best friends. So anyway, so Heath is just, like, a complete asshole to Kat when he's, like, skating with Bella, whatever. And then, like, to make, like, Kat, like, mad, he, like, ends up kissing Bella. And then, like, some other shit happens, and, like, Heath and Kat end up skating together again. And, like, they're, like, just dominating the scene. They're dominating the circuit for years. They're finally going to the Olympics. Also, like, Kat's, like, whole thing is that, like, she just wants to be the best. And, like, she puts her entire, like, literal, like, she puts her entire pussy into figure skating, and they skate, like, one of the best performances of their lives, and he actually just, like, he takes all the attention off of, like, her ability as a skater by proposing to her, and she's, like, kind of, like, ugh, like, she says yes, but she's kind of, like, a little, like, taken aback by it, because, like, everyone's, like, everyone who knew Kat, like, knew that this was, like, the wrong thing to do, but when they're engaged, whenever they get to the Olympics, right before their final skate at the Olympics, and they're in gold medal position, but right before the final skate, like, TMZ, there's, like, a skating blog, whatever, but, like, TMZ, like, basically, like, drops, like, the news that when Heath was missing for those 3 years, like, back in the day, when he was missing for those 3 years, he was training in Russia, and he was, like, feeding the Russian team, like, the secrets of, like, Kat and Bella, basically, so that, like, the Russian team can, like, beat them in competition. So this happens right before their last skate, so they're, like, kind of fighting. The last skate, like, they fuck up their last skate, they end up only getting bronze, they get into this huge fight. She, like, throws her medal and her ring at him. She, like, leaves to go to one of the, like, the parties, like, whatever. She runs into Bella. Bella's like, you should at least be happy you meddled. And Kat's, like, kind of like, fuck you. So her and Bella get into a fight. At the end of the night, she's like, okay, like, she's calmed down a little bit. She's like, let me go talk to Heath. Like, it's not worth, it's like us fighting, it's, like, not worth our relationship, whatever. She goes back to talk to Heath. Heath and Bella are revenge fucking in the room because they're both so mad at Kat that they decide to fuck each other. So her best friend and her fiance start fucking. Okay, that's fucked up. Kat then, like, she, like, leaves. She's like, fuck it, this, I'm done. She goes back to Illinois to her childhood home. She exiles herself there for 3 years. She builds herself a nice drink. Like, nobody knows where she is, like, what she's doing, really. Blah, blah, blah. Bella shows up 3 years later and is like, the Olympics are coming up in a year. This is your last chance. Like, you and Heath can really do it. Like, this is your last chance. Like, can you come back and train with me? Bella and Heath now have been working at Bella's mom's, like, ice skating, like, I don't know why I can't think of the word. Like, basically training facility. They've been working there together. Bella's training and Heath is choreographing. So, like, even after they fucked each other and, like, ruined a friendship and a relationship, they decide that they're going to stay friends. And not only are they going to stay friends and work together, they're also going to continue a physical relationship for the 3 years. But, like, Bella's like, well, like, I mean, like, what else were we going to do? Like, you weren't there. So, like, yeah, we continue to, like, sleep together. We're like, we're not in love. Like, he loves you. He doesn't love me. But, like, we're best. Like, you know, him and I are, like, really close. Like, we're really good friends. Whatever. Kat, who, like, literally took shit from nobody her entire life, is just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. Let me come skate with you. You can train me. I'll skate with my ex-fiance who's also kind of fucking you, I guess. Kat goes back. There is this, like, weird, like, encounter between her and Heath, and Kat's kind of like, listen, like, just let's just get through the Olympics. Like, I think that we kind of need to maintain a very professional relationship. Like, let's just get through this. It is kind of clear, I guess, that Heath, like, says he, like, loves Kat, but, like, to me, it's like Heath just, like, loves the idea of Kat because who Kat is, he can never stand. Anyway, even when Kat gets back, him and Bella, like, still fuck each other.
to the point where Bella gets pregnant with Heath's baby. And somehow at the end of this, first of all, okay, so they get to the Olympics, they skate, they win gold, but somebody's been sabotaging them the entire games, and they get, like, drug tested. It's, like, this whole thing, whatever. And there's, like, a banned substance, like, in their system. So they get their gold medal stripped away, and then it ends with Heath and Kat together. And they're, like, they move the training facility to Illinois to, like, where, like, Kat, like, was living. And then him and her co-parent with Bella. And they're all, like, best friends.
I don't understand how people like this.
And it was, like, it was just the most unsatisfying, stupid fucking book. Like, I don't even, like, Kat's character, okay, she's the main character of the story. Her entire character was assassinated within those last 100 pages. Because I'm like, I read 330 pages of this, like, badass, kind of bitchy, very toxic person. And then at the end, she just kind of, like, becomes a doormat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why did I invest all my time to just basically watch some girl be broken down by two people who, like, she loved the most and just, like, become a doormat for them?
She crumbled.
She crumbled. And honestly, pissed me the fuck off. So anyway, next week we'll be talking Quicksilver. Next week we'll be talking Quicksilver. After that, we'll do a Spilling the Tea. We have not really talked about what we'll be doing in March yet, so stay tuned. But we know that there's a lot of really good releases. Wild Eyes, Promise Me Sunshine, a lot of great releases in March, so stay tuned. Katie's kids are there, so I'm just going to let her sign us out really quick, and then we'll be done. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.